Hello, book besties. Welcome to episode 24 of the Books and Mockers podcast. I'm Shai.
I'm Em.
Grab a drink, get cozy, let's talk books.
Good morning.
Morning to you. How are we?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I can't complain. A little bit tired. Yeah, I went on a little bit of a reading marathon yesterday with Crescent Sea because I realised that it's been nearly 2 weeks and I'm only on 50%. So I literally done like 20% yesterday. So I read for like 7 hours.
Wow, that's a good effort. I'm proud of you.
It is a good effort. Yeah, it was. Yeah. There's just so much going on. You can't, like, sometimes with a romance, you can sort of like flick past certain points. You can't really do that with a fantasy because you'll probably miss something really key. So it takes a lot of brain power.
Yeah, I know. I'm sort of in that state right now because obviously I've finished ACOTAR and I've moved on to A Court of Mist and Fury. And yeah, I'll be honest, I am struggling with it.
Where are you?
I think you're chapter 8.
I really thought you were going to tell me chapter 2 and I was going to say you can't still be.
No. I've made my way to chapter 8, but I am just, I don't know what it is. I'm struggling to stay in the fantasy mindset. And I think the beginning, obviously I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but the start of Akamath frustrated me and I wasn't expecting the start of it. And I think that's really, it's annoyed me to the point where I'm struggling to move forward. But I have, you'll know what I mean when I say this, I've gotten to a point where someone has entered back in and it's making me excited.
Yeah, it's so, only up from here.
I'm still with it. I am still reading it. But yeah, I can see it taking me a little while.
I want to talk about your reaction actually, just briefly, to the ending of ACOTAR.
Mm-hmm.
Because the romance in you really, really came out.
It did. Yeah.
I got a live reaction. So we was on FaceTime while you was reading the last couple of chapters. And if anyone's read ACOTAR or actually just read the entire series, you'll understand my frustration when I heard Emma go, "Oh, well, they're meant to be together then," in reference to Feyre and Tamlin. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean, the romantic in me just thought, oh, you know, this is so lovely. I have changed my mind, I'll be honest. I have. As I say, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but if anyone has read the second book in the series, I think they'll understand my frustration at the beginning part of it. Tamlin is not the man I thought he was.
No, he is not. And actually, the funniest thing that I stumbled across on TikTok last week was that people refer to him as Tampon.
Oh my God.
Like the funniest thing. Like people, yeah, you haven't been able to watch it because there are spoilers, but I done a little a TikTok of like a ACOTAR one with like a soundbite, and someone commented about Tampon and I was like, oh my God, that is brilliant.
Do you know, I think I was not expecting you to say that at all. But yeah, I mean, he's frustrating me, but I'm sticking with it. ACOTAR, I actually I did a video on my TikTok about kind of my thoughts on ACOTAR, just really for the second sort of part under the mountain. I'm not giving away any spoilers here, but yeah, sort of my thoughts on it, because I really, once I read it, I had just quite a strong reaction and thought I needed to sort of put this out there and just have a discussion with other people, because I was not ready for it. Like, I think with ACOTAR, and you had warned me, you know, the first sort of half of ACOTAR, it's quite slow moving and, you know, some people find it quite boring, so not a lot's happening. I really enjoyed the first half of the book. I think probably because I am such a strong romance reader, it was more sort of the building up of the relationship, and I was okay with that. I was not ready for the second half of that book at all. It went in a direction that I was just not prepared for. And I mean, it was incredible and it was awesome to read, but I was not ready at all.
I did try and warn you. You was all fairy and you was like, oh, this is like amazing. And I was like, oh, you just buckle in. It's about to get real.
I know. And as I say, it was amazing. I mean, the book is incredible, but yeah, I was not ready at all. But yeah, I'm excited to get further into A Court of Mist and Fury. I feel like the next sort of few chapters, it's really going to grab me, just with things that are happening and things that are being set up. I feel like the next few chapters are really it's going to reel me in, and I'm going to get stuck back in.
Yeah, the first part's always the hardest because you know that this is wrong, and you're like, oh God, please do not end up with this guy. But you have also some exciting TikTok news.
Yeah, a couple of days ago, I hit 1,000 followers, which was really exciting. It's amazing to think that there's 1,000 people just watching my videos and liking my content enough to come and follow me. And yeah, it's lovely. It's really lovely. So if any of our listeners are following me on TikTok, thank you very much. I'm really glad to have you with me. And yeah, I'm really, really loving TikTok right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we've spoken about it before, but Instagram's just not where it's at the moment for creators. And
yeah, I think Instagram, I don't know if it's a problem with the algorithm or the content, because that's the thing. I mean, a lot of the content that I'm putting on TikTok is also going on my Instagram, and it's just not getting the same traffic, the same interaction. And I think it's really disheartening. And you know this as well, because obviously, I mean, you're doing really well on TikTok. You're not far from your 1,000. And, you know, the content that we're both creating, it takes time. It takes effort. We put in a lot of effort to make our content and put it out there. And I think just when you put it on Instagram and you get sort of one like or 10 views, and then you're getting sort of 1,000 upwards views on TikTok and a lot of interaction, it's really frustrating. It's disheartening because you've really put your heart and soul into making this content, and it just doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I posted one of my TikToks onto Instagram. I only done one. And on TikTok, it got like 3,500, which in the grand scheme of things, it's not like viral, but it done pretty well. It had quite good interaction. I put it on Instagram and I got 36 views. And I was like, why? Just why?
Literally 10% of the views that you got on TikTok. And I'm not buying that the same people on Instagram are not on TikTok and they're looking at Bookstagram and BookTok, in which case, why is the interaction? So that can only say to me that it's something to do with the algorithm rather than the content, because the same content cannot be going out to a similar group of people and it doing so well on one platform and not on the other.
Yeah. I'm not going to, because I do like the way my Instagram grid looked, but I got so fed up the other day. I was like, I kind of just want to delete you now, because you're just, it's disappointing and it doesn't get you excited to create.
No, it doesn't. And it is really frustrating, because Instagram, I love Instagram as a platform, and I interact a lot on there with, you know, a lot of different people. Obviously, authors, I feel, use Instagram a lot more than they do TikTok. But overall, for me and for my content, I just feel that TikTok is more suitable for where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You have a few other exciting updates for us.
Yeah. So last week, I think I mentioned that my bookcase was filling up, and it was really frustrating me because my top shelf, it was full of books, all different authors, all different colors. I couldn't really get any cohesion with it, and it was really, really frustrating me. So I made a snap decision. I ran to IKEA and I bought a book trolley. And I have to say, it's one of the most exciting things I've done in such a long time. So I've taken quite a lot of my books from my bookcase. Ones that I want to read, they are my TBR, but I just don't feel they fit in with my aesthetic for my bookcase. I've moved into my book trolley and I'm so much happier. I know that sounds really dramatic, but I am so much happier now with my bookcase. I feel like it looks a lot more me. When I look at it, it's making me happy, whereas before it was just really frustrating me.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you're quite an impulsive book buyer in that.
Massively.
You get like this wave where you're like, oh, I want to go book shopping. And then you go out and you'll buy like 15 books. And half of them you probably haven't even heard of, but they looked good in the store, so you pick them up. And I think what happened to you is your bookcase was no longer books that you loved, but more just these random books that you picked up. And now you have a space for these random books. And if you love them, then they make it into the Hall of Fame, so to speak. And if they don't, then bye-bye to the book.
100% agree. And I know we spoke about this on FaceTime the other day, because it has come to light. I am such an impulse book buyer. And Some of the books I had, yes, I've bought them because I genuinely do want to read them at some point. You also pointed out to me, you have Kindle Unlimited. Most of these books are on Kindle Unlimited. Go read them. If you love them, buy the physical book. And now, I mean, there's a few series that I really want to buy. Ones that I've read before. I love them. I really want the books in my bookcase. I love the covers, and I have no room for them. Because I'm filling them up with books that don't mean anything to me. I have no affinity with these books. I haven't read them. I don't have a strong burning desire to read them sort of next week. So yeah, for me, I think I've made a couple of decisions in the fact that obviously I have my book trolley. I've moved books in there. I've also made the decision that when it comes to my bookcase, because I don't have room for a second bookcase, because that would have solved all my problems, and I could have had a sort of bookcase for not now. And a bookcase for books that I really love, but I don't have that option. But actually, I think in a way it's a positive, because now I think when it comes to buying a physical book, I'm going to hold myself accountable and ask myself, why are you buying this book? And it needs to fall into certain criteria, as in either I've read it and I've absolutely loved it, I have an absolute burning desire to read it, or the cover is especially something that really calls out to me, and it's something that I feel I want to display it on my bookcase. If it does not fall into one of those three criteria, it is not being bought.
I'm proud of you. It's
Thank
growth.
you.
It's growth.
It is, and it's a struggle for me, because if anyone's listened to our pod before, they'll know I am an absolute works obsessive. I love that store. I'm in there so often, and yeah, I've bought most of the books in the works that I want to. So now I'm going in and just picking up anything. But no, that needs to stop. I need, as I say, I now have strict criteria. If the book does not fall into that criteria, it is not being bought.
Yeah, I mean, people need to talk about it more because buying a book does something to the brain. So I get why you do it because I'm more of a, I like the vibe of a Waterstones. I know that it's so much more expensive and whatever. I like being in there. It's my happy place. And I love like walking out with a little paper bag and just going home and just holding the book. We've said it before, actually. We purchase these books, and 99% of the time, we will read it on a Kindle. It's almost unhinged, but there's something about bringing a book home. It's just, oh.
That's good though. This is the thing. I want bookbind to get me back to that, because right now I don't get chills when I buy a book, because it's almost like I need just my next hit. I need to just buy a book because I need to get that sort of that little feeling. I want to get back to the fact that actually I've bought a book and it really means something to me, and yeah, it gives me that chill rather than just this quick buzz. You're right. This is the thing. Waterstones for me is a complete experience. I love being in there. I don't often buy books in there purely because they are more expensive, but maybe I need to get back to that, where if there's a book that I really want, I will go to Waterstones and buy it, because it
Yeah.
becomes an experience rather than just I've bought a book.
And I'll say this, it makes you so much more selective. You're not going to go in there and spend £10 on a book that you have absolutely, like, you have to really, 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 really want the book for you to pick it up and take it home. So
Yeah.
maybe it will help in that respect as well. Not just the experience, but it will make you really think about what it is you're picking up. Because when you're in the works, it's like, oh, 3 for £6, £2.50, £5. You're like, oh, this is nothing. So you put loads in and then you get to the till and it's like £60. And you're like, oh, I don't even think that I want half of
Well, this is
these.
the thing. I've done this so many times. I've gone to the works and spent 30, £40. And yeah, I've got loads of books from it. But in actual fact, would I have been better going to Waterstones, spending £40 on three or four books that actually mean a lot more to me? Because let's face it, that £30, £40 in Waterstones, I'm probably still going to spend that at some point, because the books that I really want, I will still buy. So in actual fact, I'm frivolously buying books and spending money that I really just don't mean much to me.
Well, you're going one way, I'm going the other because I am convinced that I need to get a wall of bookshelves built in my living room. And I keep saying to Adam, I'm like, wouldn't it just look nice? And we can get like a Samsung picture frame TV and it'd look like there's artwork in the middle of the bookcase. Like, I'm convinced that I'm going to have a wall of romance and a wall of fantasy. And I'm not willing to let go of the dream.
I'm here for it. I mean, I'll be honest, I really am. The thing is, though, you are more selective with the books you buy. And I feel like, although you may have lots, I feel like it will all mean something to you. Whereas I would just fill it up with anything because I have this book buying obsession. Whereas in actual fact, I know that your bookcases would mean something to you. So I'm all here for it. I, Adam, buy the bookcases.
Do you have any more updates?
I think the only thing I want to touch on very, very slightly is that when we did our March roundup in April TBR a couple of weeks ago, I set out the books that I wanted to do in April. I put my April TBR on TikTok. I am struggling, really struggling.
No.
I know. So I think we've talked on previous episodes about the fact that we're both real kind of mid readers. And we're now on the 7th of April. And as I say, I'm still making my way very slowly through Akamath. I want to get through A Court of Mist and Fury, Court of War and Ruin, Redeeming and Saving Six from the next two in the Boys of Tommen series, Taming Seven, which is the fifth book in the Boys of Tommen series, and Catching Feelings by Maren Moore. And one, I just don't know if there's enough time because also I go on holiday later in the month. And I don't kind of want to be taking any of these on holiday with me because when I'm on holiday, I like just sort of really easy, you know, sort of, I do a lot of sports romance on holiday just because I find it easy. It's what I really enjoy. And yeah, I'm struggling with the fact that I don't know if I'm going to get through these books this month. But then I think I need to just take the pressure off me and do what I can do and enjoy the books.
And it's okay if you stray from what you had planned. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh, I'll do the second book in Crescent City. It's irking me that it's taken so long. So I'm like, maybe I'm gonna just do something quick and easy. Like, it's okay to change your mind. Although I will say this, if you do want to stick to it, not to panic you. It's the seventh. So, you know.
I know, that's what I mean. It's the 7th and I only have a couple of weeks until I go away and yeah, we'll do what we can do. I'm struggling a little bit with motivation this month, but it will be fine. It will be fine.
I think that the issue is that obviously this is like fantasy. It's not really what you do, but I have noticed something because we're both reading fantasy at the moment. When you get into the world, you have to just keep reading. I think when you start and stop and start and stop and you only do small little pieces of the book, it's difficult to really get into it and feel immersed. And I think that maybe that's why it's taken you a little while to get through Akamath because you was on two chapters for like 4 days. And you can't really get into a book or get immersed into that story unless you sit down and like really just go in. So I think that maybe that's where the that's why it's taking you so long and why you're feeling like you're not really moving forward.
Definitely. I need to take a leaf out of your book and do what you did yesterday and have sort of a 7 hour period where I just sit and read and read and read. The thing is, usually I do have that sort of time and in the evenings. See, the problem is the last week I've been quite busy in the evenings. I've had things on and it's meant I've not been able to read as much as I usually would. But yeah, I think today I need to just really sit down for a good few hours. I think I need to lock myself in my office and just sit down with my book and read and switch my phone off because this is the other thing as well. Because I've been posting a lot more on TikTok, I am getting distracted. So I think I need to just put all the distractions, I need to turn off my computer, turn off my phone, literally just sit with my Kindle and just read.
Yeah, I feel you because I do the same. I get like halfway through a chapter. I'm like, oh, just check TikTok quickly. Worst thing you can do. Worst thing you can do.
Oh, worth it.
But yeah, we have a fun game planned today. I don't know if it's going to be fun, actually. I think some feelings are probably going to get hurt. We are responding to the haters. I have given Em my 5 5-star books from the last 6 months. She's given me hers. We have selected one store reviews, 1 star reviews for the books, and we are going to read them and give each other the chance to defend and respond to the hate. Who wants to start?
You go for it.
Okay, shall we start with, because as we know, you are a massive Magnolia Parks fan.
Yeah.
So this is for Into the Dark. Okay, So someone has said, WTF, this was bad. Listen, I'm glad we finally got over BJ and Magnolia's toxicness, but oh my God, this book could have been a novella. 700 pages for what? The healing and the grief of the death, that was just so random and unnecessary. But yes, please kill one of the most likable characters in the entire series.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to start from kind of the back end of that review. So the first off, killing off the most likable character. For me, I understand why she did that, because she needed Magnolia and BJ to have really strong reactions to a death. Now, had this been Magnolia's mum or dad, or even like her gran, I don't think she'd have had such strong reactions, because we know she doesn't have a fantastic relationship or necessarily close relationship with her mum and dad, and also her gran. I think looking at Magnolia's character as a whole, if her gran had died, I think she would have just thought, well, okay, she's had a decent life, she was a decent age. You know, I think she would have been quite pragmatic towards that. With it being her sister, who she was so close to, it was also her younger sister, she had such a strong reaction to it. And I think it needed to be that. Jessa needed to throw something in there that was just going to be really shocking. And I think that, I mean, it happened at the end of the fourth book that we found out that she died. It was such a shock that she needed that shock reaction. When it comes to the length of the book, none of the Magnolia Park's books are particularly small. And I think that we always knew it was going to be a longer book. Could she have left some of the stuff out and made it a bit shorter? Yes, probably. But I think you could say that about any book. I think, you know, any book you'd be able to say you could either have extended this or you could have reduced it. Personally, I mean, obviously it was a 5-star for me. I liked how much depth she went into with each of the main character's feelings around, you know, her sister's death, the wedding, relationship with her parents going through it. I like that they did that. But yeah, I mean, ultimately it's the reviewer's opinion and that's their opinion. But for me, I'd have been annoyed if that book was shorter and I didn't get the feelings that she encompassed in it.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so first one for yours. This is A Court of Silver Flames, which is the fourth book in the Sarah J. Maas ACOTAR series.
The fifth, but yeah.
The fifth, yes, sorry. I'm going to read, this is just part of a very, very long review, but I just want your comment on it. So it says, lots of cringe smut scenes between Nesta and Cassius. Nesta gets healed by his magic dick. Nesta becomes obsessed with Cass and they have sex everywhere all the time.
Wrong, and wrong again. She doesn't become obsessed. You've just completely got that wrong, so I'm not even going to... Do you know what? I'm going to struggle to even entertain this one because... A smut scene is very subjective as to what you think is cringy. And personally, I didn't. I thought it was rather hot. So we're just going to differ there. They didn't have sex all the time and everywhere. Yes, they had it in a few locations, but I'm concerned for your love life if you're only having sex in one location. And she most certainly was not obsessed. She was too busy training half of the time to even think about sex. So you clearly just got to stick up your ass. Next.
Okay, back to you.
Okay. We're going to go reckless.
Okay.
I am begging authors to stop writing sex scenes that pander to the spicy book talk crowd. It is not the amount of steam in this book I have an issue with. It actually felt quite low, but the way that it was written, I couldn't decide if I wanted to laugh or cringe. Turns out I did both. Clearly, Elsie Silver wants this book to go viral, and all, in capitals, the sex scenes felt written for TikTok videos, rather cringe. People are coming for the smut, aren't they?
Wow, yeah, they are. Do you know, I'm going to echo what you just said, actually, where smut scenes, they are very subjective. What I will say is, written for the book talk crowd, I mean, I'm going to go out there and say everybody is not having the same sex. So how you can write a sex scene for one group of people, I don't quite understand. Now, if you look at, I mean, you'll have to have a look at my Goodreads and you will see the absolute, you know, a huge spectrum of kinds of books that I read. Everything from 5-star chili down to 0 chili. And for me, I wouldn't say there's a smut scene that sort of fits me, because I read all sorts of smut. You know, I don't have a preference to reading about it. I would say with Elsie Silver, I really enjoy her smutty scenes because I think she really puts the characters into it. Even just with the language they use, you know, whether they dirty talk, whether they, you know, just, you know, a bit of pillow talk before or after. I really like the way that she writes her smutty scenes. Again, if it's not for everyone, it's not for everybody. But see, this is what sort of irks me about people that write reviews. If you felt that way about it, why did you continue? You know, if you're reading a book and into the first smutty scene, you think, wow, this is cringe, I don't like it. She's clearly writing, you know, for a certain crowd just so it'll go viral. DNF the book, because if that's her first smutty scene, it's not going to change the rest of the book. So yeah, I would just say very subjective. I don't think you can write to one particular group of people. Yeah, I'm done.
No, you
End it.
can't. And I'm sorry, but please define TikTok smut. Because
Yeah.
every book is so different.
Well, and this
Yes,
is the thing.
TikTok, for some reason, books with smut in them do tend to go more viral on TikTok than those without smut. But that's not to say that all of the smut is the same. So.
Well, no, because if you, I mean, even if I just look at my TikTok, if I look at my TikTok and the books that I have highlighted on there, every single one of them, if there's smut in them, is completely different to the next book. So you would say that I'm the TikTok crowd, the fact that I'm on TikTok as a creator and, you know, as a viewer, what would you then say fit, you know, fit my smut style? You know, it's not a thing. It's
And they're
not a
all
thing.
different. They're all different. You've got dark romance, you've got sports romance, you've got small town. Like, they're all very different. None of them are going to be the same. Anyway, we're not going to get into this because we feel very passionately.
Right. The next one for you is The Love Hypothesis by Ellie Hazelwood. Now, this was one line, and I want your reaction on it because I read it and I'll be honest, burst out laughing. So it is, he had her whole boob in her mouth. I'm scared.
Yeah, it she's got small boobs. What can we say? Not
It's so,
everyone is a double D. Maybe she's an A cup, and that's okay. Poor Olive.
it was when I read this and I thought the book has one smutty scene. And out of that entire bit, I mean, what is it like 350, 400 pages of your review? Because that's all the review said. Out of the entire book, everything that happens, and if anyone's read The Love Hypothesis, I mean, it's an amazing book. Both Shai and I gave it 5 stars. Out of the entire book, that's what you pick from it.
Yeah, that's what you picked up from it. I loved this that scene in Love Hypothesis, and we've spoken about it before. She made it so real and human. It wasn't perfect. It was fumbly. It was awkward. They had multiple pauses.
Yeah.
But that's really what you picked up on. I mean, talk about come for the small boob crowd. Do you know what I
I know,
mean? Like,
right?
did you even think about this before you posted it? The amount of women that you've probably offended there. You're like, well, fairly possible.
Know.
I just want to urge people to think about their reviews before they post them.
Absolutely. If that's what you want to focus in on or review, absolutely fine. I have no issue with it. Put a bit of context.
Yeah,
You know,
bit of context.
write a full review. Do not just put one line. Absolutely desecrating the book without any backup.
Well, it's not even really a review. You highlighted a point. It would be like me saying she had freckles.
Exactly.
Okay. So what now? Does that mean you don't like the book or you do like the book? Like, I don't really know where we're going with this. So the enforcer. Halfway through when I had to stop. No plot development or character growth, just the same empty plot points and no real romance. Shame, because I really enjoyed the author's other book.
So this is The Enforcer, which is a sports romance from Avery Keelan. And it's Second Chance. So it's about Nash and Violet, who they were together previously and then split up. And they're basically becoming sort of friends. Well, no, she comes to start working with the hockey team that Nash plays on. And they sort of, you know, they find their way back to one another. It's difficult because sport romances, I think, again, it would be nice to know a bit more about that reviewer actually, as in what do they read typically? Because I could understand that if, for example, there's somebody who read a lot of romance, sorry, fantasy, or they have read maybe a lot of complex romance, if you go to something like The Enforcer, you could feel that there's not masses of character development, not masses of plot. But then I think you need to take sport romance for what it is. A lot of them are quite easygoing. They're not hugely complex. I loved this, but I mean, obviously I gave it 5 star. For me, I don't know if potentially there was maybe a little bit of character development missed out on because it was second chance. I sometimes find that with a second chance, because they know each other, you don't have almost that getting to know one another and building that character development. But plot-wise, I don't agree. I think there's a lot going on in the book. They end up finding and adopting a dog, which I know that seems really random, but it's, I get, for me, that sort of shows character development as well, because it takes two people that it sort of plunges them into a little bit of a parental role. Right, I'm going to go on to the next one for you. So we're now going to go Ruthless Vows. And this 1 star review is, my New Year's resolution is to finally be okay DNFing a book, because honestly, this was a waste of my time. I kept reading despite not loving Divine Rivals because I was hoping for more fantasy and for things to get so much better. But nope. Once again, this was a war novel and I was bored to say the least.
Okay, so a few things. More for you, because if you felt like you should have DNF'd the book, then you should have DNF'd the book. No one else is to blame for the time waste but yourself. And also, yes, it's about war. That's the premise. That's the plot. That's the entire point. If you was going to be bored by a war novel, then maybe you should not have picked it up. Again, you've done a hateful comment. Not even hateful. You've given a book a 1-star review based off of your poor decisions. A, picking up a book that included war that you knew that you wasn't going to enjoy because clearly you don't enjoy war books. And B, continuing a book that you felt like you should have DNF. Pointless. Why did you leave the review? Just another waste of your time, along with picking up a book that you shouldn't have read and continuing a book that you shouldn't have read. You've now wasted even more time writing a review that wasn't particularly helpful.
So essentially, they are right in what they say, though it is a war novel, but that's documented.
Yeah, it would be like someone saying about Chestnut Springs, they was always on a ranch. Well, yes, that's the entire point. That's
Okay.
just where they are. Like, it would be also like me being like, oh, there was just far too many dragons about Fourth Wing. Well, then why have you picked up if it's a book about dragons and their riders and you have a problem with dragons, maybe not the book for you. This is the Keeping 13.
Oh, Lord.
I
Okay.
thought it was quite funny. I thoroughly wish someone would knock me out with a rugby ball.
Is that the whole review?
That's it.
Right. So, first of all, main issue with this is that happened in Binding 13, not Keeping 13. So, if you're going to make stupid, funny comments towards something that happens in a book, use the right book. I can't say enough good things about Keeping 13. It's a really heavy read. There's a lot of pain and heartache in it, but also it's incredible. I love it for the plot. I love it for character development. I love it for the side characters, like the found family aspect in these books. I just absolutely love. Yeah, there's nothing else I can say to that. Okay, so we are going on to Heartless for you.
Oh no, not Daddy
I know.
Cades.
Daddy Cade is gonna get it. Okay, this is a little bit of a longer one, but actually, I want your comments on it. So, DNF at 75%. This book temporarily fixed my sleep schedule. It was that boring and bland. Plus, I don't think this author's writing is for me. It's just too forced and cringy, and the romance never feels authentic. Cade gave me major creepy vibes. I usually love a good age gap, but the nanny single dad situation never fails to disgust me. The way he constantly focused on her young, tight little body, sickening. Besides, the little gremlin was annoying AF, and the love interest only personality was scowling. TF, I'm guessing the fuck does an appreciative and happy scowl look like? I'd really like to know. This is why I don't read single dad ever.
So we're going to stick with the Ruthless Vows commentary here. If you know that you don't like the single dad nanny trope, why have you picked up a book that is marketed as that?
Yep.
So you have gone into a book that you know that you're probably not going to enjoy because you already know that there are themes that you don't enjoy in other books. And you've proceeded to get to 75%, even though it's very clear what the book is about within the first 10%, or to write a negative review that isn't actually constructive And it doesn't provide any feedback for the author as to how she could improve going forward, because that is it's just the trope that you didn't like personally. Pointless review. Also, don't come for Luke. It's a child. I'm just, do you know what it is? I'm over the comments of like, right, I can appreciate when someone's like, usually I absolutely love a single dad nanny trope, but this wasn't it. Because it's something that you would normally like, and there was obviously something fundamentally wrong with the book that you've that just it didn't connect for you. But I cannot stand when people are openly like, well, I knew that this book probably wasn't going to be for me because other books like this aren't for me, but I still read it anyway and still left a review slating an author's work. It just, nothing irks me more. Right, this is Undulate. Can I just say that this, the title of this makes me feel very uncomfortable. There's something about the word undulate that makes me feel physically sick. That's not the review.
Is this your review?
That's my review. I'm going to do what these people do, not even read the bloody book and leave just a stupid comment. Okay, so they have said, DNF'd. The whole premise was ridiculous. All smart, no real plot other than two sex club employees like having sex. Shocker. I need a better plot than a single dad and a horny 20-something to keep reading this junk. Also, she slept with his best friend. Ill, no.
Okay, so I knew this one was going to have a really strong review because it's part of Elodie Hart's Alchemy series, which is based around co-owners of a sex club. I obviously it's a 5-star read for me. I absolutely love this book. I'm going to be honest, like full disclosure, yes, it is very, very spicy. There is a lot of smut in the book. Would I say it takes away from the story? No. I mean, this is just my personal opinion. I think, again, did they say when they DNF'd it or just
They
that they
haven't said
DNF'd
no,
it?
just that they DNF'd
Okay,
it.
because I would say you do have to get to sort of the back end of the book to sort of jump back storyline wise. I would say there's it's a very good ending. I do like the ending of this book. The best friend point, yes, she did sleep with one of the other co-owners of the club. However, this was before there was even an interest between Zach and Maddie. You know, it wasn't as if Zach and Maddie were messing around and then she slept with Cal. This was before anything ever happened between the two main characters. I'm not buying that in real life. I'm not talking about sex club, take that out of it. I'm not buying that a friend group, there are not situations that happen between two of the friend group and then two others of the friend group get together at a later date. I'm not buying that in real life that never happens. So the fact that it happens in one book, it doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't impact any of the friendships, any of the relationships. And yeah, I mean, as I say, I knew this was going to be a strong one just because it is very, very spicy. It's a five chili spice book. But ultimately, I always struggle as well that if you've DNF'd a book, how can you review it? You know, in its entirety. I think, I mean, yeah, give comments. And ultimately, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinions. And I get that. What I would say is if, you know, yes, it's a difficult one because there's been books that I've DNF'd and I then have not gone and reviewed them on Goodreads. And I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but I just feel like I can't give a full review of something if I haven't read it in its entirety.
I think you're right, but also just in the defense of this book, is it advertised as a sex club book? Like, is that
Yes.
the right? So I'm not being funny, but you've started a book that is advertised as a sex club book and then complained about the level of smut. What did you think it was going to be about? The cleaning
Yeah.
staff?
Elodie Hart has never shied away from the fact that her books are incredibly spicy. Her Alchemy series is very spicy. Undulate's the second book in the series. Unfurl, the first book, again, very spicy. I think if, you know, I mean, I have actually reviewed Unfurl on my Goodreads, and I have said in my review, this book is not for the faint of heart. It is very spicy. You know, the spice is off the scale. Check your trigger warnings before you go into the book. I think, you know, this book, there's nothing that says this is not going to be full of spice. So if you are going into it, I think, you know, enter at your own risk.
Yeah, 100%.
So I have one last one for you, which is Daisy Hates the Great Undoing. And this, again, it's a little bit of a long one, but I want to hear your comments on it. So why are we wasting so many pages on a relationship we all know is doomed? Magnolia and Julian, in a book that isn't even supposed to be about them. Is this Daisy's book or not? It's no secret I hate Magnolia. Many of you probably have seen my roast of Magnolia Parks too. And guess what? I still hate her. Seriously, stop wasting words on her. I came here for Daisy and Christian. I saw someone else say it feels like Jessie doesn't actually like or care about Daisy or her storyline. And yeah, I would agree. Girl can't even be a main character in her own damn book. At this point, I'm pretty sure Jessie isn't capable of writing a story that doesn't revolve around Magnolia. She also doesn't know how to write character depth or how to explain why characters love Magnolia. People just do in this universe. Them's the rules. No explanation, and I hate it. Anyway, this was really a bummer because I still had a sliver of hope left for Daisy's storyline, but RIP to that.
Okay, I'm not angry at you because I feel like you love Daisy as much as I do. So I'm not going to come at you as hard as I have with the other comments. I will say this, it's not just about Daisy because there are three POVs. And yes, they are all connected to Daisy. You have to appreciate the fact that I am no fan of Magnolia. I've said it 100 times over. I'm not ashamed to say it. But she has connections to Christian. And very clearly, a main character in Daisy Hates is Julian, who, for whatever reason, unbeknownst to me, has feelings for her. Therefore, she is going to appear. It wouldn't have been possible to tell their stories without Magnolia being there because she is part of their story. A massive hold up in the beginning of Daisy Hates and Christian's relationship was the situation between him and Magnolia. So how would you like that plot to develop, and how would you like to understand that issue if she's not in the book? I think that as much as I love Daisy, without the other characters surrounding her, her story would be very quick and over and out within 100 pages. So I think that we need the other POVs and we need all of that to build her up. And I actually think that you get a better appreciation for her story through Julian because you can see who she's grown up with, who's raised her, the sort of like family that she's been a part of. You can gain an appreciation for her through Christian's eyes. And yeah, I get where you're coming from, and I, as someone who doesn't like Magnolia themselves, I get the annoyance when she's constantly there, but I think she's needed.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, so that's us done.
My blood pressure's through the roof. I'm so annoyed.
I know. I feel like that was it was good. It was actually really good to sort of be able to sort of defend these books that, you know, we love. What I would like to say is that everybody is absolutely entitled to their opinion, and as much as we have our opinions about their opinions, you know, ultimately that this is the great thing about books. Everyone is going to have their own takes on it. Everyone's going to have their own opinions. But I think the overriding thing that I've taken from this is before you go into a book, read your blurb and make sure you're aware of the tropes, because this seems to be a big thing about negative reviews, is that people are going into books reading about tropes that they know they don't enjoy.
I think it stems from also, we're going to wrap this up because this has already been quite a large, long episode, but there's a lot of hate on TikTok for people that talk about tropes. And I think that this is just a prime example as to why we need to talk about tropes, because they help you narrow down and understand whether or not a book is going to be for you. And I think it's very clear when the research hasn't been done. So yes, you're entitled to your opinion, but as my mum always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. So maybe just keep that in mind.
Yeah. And one final thing I would say is if you do start a book and it turns out it's not something you enjoy, DNF it. Do you need to go on to Goodreads and slate the book? Maybe not.
Yeah, so that's for us. That's it for us this week, guys. As always, if you like the episode, please do not forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple. We really do appreciate it.
Yep. And don't forget to come join us on Instagram and TikTok at Books and Mockers Bod. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Yep, speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.